Hello. Today's video is to show the step-by-step process for automating a SQL Server 2005 to SQL Server 2014 upgrade. For this upgrade, we'll be using a specific process document of the same name, and we'll start that process by identifying the servers that will be involved in the configuration. The three servers involved, three machines involved, are Source 2005, that's our SQL Server 2005 on Windows Server 2003 installation. Both the Source OS and application are 32-bit. We also have Target 2014, that's SQL Server 2014 installed on Windows Server 2012 R2. Both the OS and the application are 64-bit. Then we have SQL DC, which is our domain controller as well as our DNS server. And in this particular case, we're also going to use this as our client machine, as our SQL Move controller machine. Either the source or the target could be the SQL Move controller machine. It doesn't have to be a separate workstation or separate server, but in this case, we'll use a separate one to make the workflow easier. Those are our three machines involved. Now we'll review the technical requirements for being able to run SQL Move. Let you take a quick look at those. We'll verify some of these as we go through the process. Need to have certain versions of Windows Server, PowerShell, SQL Server, and DoubleTake. Just make sure that you meet the requirements for each of your machines. Again, you do not need a separate SQL Move controller. Either the source or the target can act as that, or any server for that matter can act as that controller, but we will use a specific SQL Move controller today. Our next step is going to be installing all of the necessary software. And the first is to install SQL Move on the controller machine. So we'll switch to that machine. And we will start the process of installing DoubleTake. We'll go ahead and pull that document up here as well. And we see we need to install DoubleTake, so we'll start that process. We see our DoubleTake version 7.1.2. That is a valid version for this particular configuration. We'll extract those files using the default settings. Next, we'll select the DoubleTake Move product for the install. In this case, we will choose English. The installer is checking to make sure that certain prerequisites are met. And we can begin the process. In this particular case, because we know we have the specific version used in the document that we're following, we will go ahead and skip the check for updated versions of DoubleTake. We'll accept the license agreement. And there's some more information about licensing and activation. We won't need to license this particular machine because we're only going to install the client components. That will be important information for the source and target server, though for the SQL Move controller machine, we only need the client components. We'll make that selection. Again, we'll leave everything else set to the defaults. In this case, we will particularly reassign the ports to DoubleTake. And initiate the installation. And then we'll finish the process. Now we'll go ahead and open the DoubleTake console. Now that we're done installing DoubleTake on the SQL Move controller, we can use the DoubleTake console to push install to the source and target servers. First, we'll need to add those servers to the DoubleTake console. Manage Servers tab. And now we'll need to add those servers to the console. First, we'll add our source machine. Next, we'll add our target machine. We're using the same credentials for both servers. And I'll click OK to add those to the console. While both servers have been added to the console, they don't actually have DoubleTake installed yet, but we will use the console to do a push install of DoubleTake to both the source and target. So we'll select both of those machines, right click, and select install. First thing we need to do is make sure that our licensing is correctly assigned. We can use DoubleTake Console's license inventory management, or we can add the keys in manually. In this case, we'll go ahead and add the keys in manually. First, we need our source license key. So for that source, I'll grab that key and just paste it into the prompt for that license. And then we'll do the same thing for the target. Again, we need to make sure it's the right license key for a DoubleTake target. Grab that key. And insert it into the console with that server. For the rest of the settings, we'll leave those at the default settings. You can check those out yourself. We have those listed all in great detail in our user's guide. Determines the amount of memory assigned to DoubleTake, how much space for queuing, etc. And we will go ahead and initiate the install now. The install process will take several minutes. Make sure and check within the documentation provided to determine whether or not the particular server is a good candidate for the push install. Again, you have the option to install locally on that particular server if it's not a candidate for a push install. In this particular case, both servers are candidates, and we'll use this process to execute the installation of DoubleTake on those servers remotely. And we see now we're finished with the second server as well. Both servers have been installed. Now we can go ahead and check back with the document to see what our next steps are. Now we need to install SQL Move on the SQL Move controller. Okay, and now we'll need to unblock the files. You don't need to unblock these programmatically the way we're going to do here. If you don't, you will need to answer the prompts as you run the scripts to let PowerShell know that these are permitted scripts. So first we'll switch to that SQL move directory within our PowerShell window. And then we'll enter in the commands we just copied from the document. That's to unblock the files. We finished that step. Next thing we're going to do, just as part of our due diligence, is to run the Microsoft SQL Server Upgrade Advisor to see what it tells us about that source SQL Server 2005 server and whether there might be any issues during the upgrade process. We'll initiate that. In this case, we're just going to check the SQL Server components. We're checking source 2005, we're checking the default instance, and we will use our Windows authentication. In this case, we'll choose to check all of the databases that are on that source. All of the user databases on that source. And we'll initiate that Upgrade Advisor run. Okay, we're finished with running the SQL Upgrade Advisor. We'll check and see what exactly it found with our source SQL 2005 server that it found problems with or potential issues with. See information about the full text search. We see information about the storage format type differences. And this one is something that we'll actually see as we run through the SQL move process, where it does find some issues with those particular data types. It's just good to know ahead of time so that you can account for that in case those are critical areas of your data. And then finally, just some more information. So in general, some warnings and some errors, but nothing major, nothing that we can't identify ahead of time and work around. So we'll go ahead and close that out. Our next step is to verify permissions and connectivity before launching the actual migration job. So we'll switch over to the source and target servers to check those, and then we'll finish checking permissions and connectivity when we come back to the SQL Move controller. So first we'll go to the source, and we'll check our same document here. So we know we need to check our PowerShell version. For the source and target servers, the PowerShell version needs to be 2.0 or higher. We do need to enable PowerShell remoting on the source and on the target for the SQL Move controller to be able to speak to them. And then finally, we'll check to make sure that our SQL Server and our SMO version are at 2005 or higher. We see that SQL Server 2005, Microsoft SQL Server 2005. So we've met all our requirements. The last thing that we want to do is just to check SQL Server connectivity. And we'll do that through Microsoft SQL Server Management Studio. I've already created those connections ahead of time to save a little bit of time. We'll just refresh those and make sure. Again, we know this is SQL Server 2005 based on the major version listed here. And then for our target, we'll do the same thing and refresh that. And again, we know that's SQL Server 2014 based on the major version listed. So everything's working in terms of connectivity. We have all the prerequisites for the source. Now we'll switch over to our target server and perform similar checks. See PowerShell version 4, so that's acceptable. We need to enable the PowerShell remoting. And then finally check the SMO version. Microsoft SQL Server 2014. As I mentioned before, we do want to check the connectivity from the target to both the source and the target. We already have those connections established, so I'll just refresh those again. Everything's working there. And everything's working there. So everything looks good for the prerequisites. It looks like we have all the necessary software installed on the source and target. Now I'll switch back to our SQL Move controller and we'll check the software there as well. Okay, PowerShell version 4. Now remember, on the SQL Move controller machine, we need version 3.0 or higher, so that's good. Because we'll be running the SQL Move scripts from this machine, we do need to set the execution policy. I'm using unrestricted here. If that's too much access for you to allow in your environment, you can set a less permissive setting. Now we want to check the SQL Server SMO version. We see this is SQL Server 2014 management tools installed on this machine. And then we'll just check to make sure that the PowerShell remoting we just enabled on the source and target is working and that the SQL Move controller can talk to both of those. So we see true, yes, it can talk to the source. Now we'll check the target as well. True as well. So we can talk, we can PS remote to both the source and the target. And then finally, just as we did on the source and target, we want to check and make sure that we have connectivity from SQL Server Management Studio. So again, I've already set those up ahead of time. We'll just refresh to make sure we can still talk to the source and talk to the target. So everything looks good there. And our next step is we're going to start the migration process. And to do this migration process, we are going to use credentials that are persisted in an XML file. Those will be encrypted credentials. It will make our command lines a little bit longer, but it does make the overall process easier to not have to enter those credentials each time you do a run of the SQL Move script. So I'll go ahead and copy these lines. This makes it a little bit easier when you do have those longer command lines to just go ahead and embed them in a document like I'm doing and step through. We need to persist those double take credentials. So we'll go ahead and initiate that command line and that's going to go through and ask me for those particular credentials. So we'll add in our username and our password. And we've stored those in a file. This DTSRVCRED, DT server credentials XML file. Because the same credentials I entered will work for both the source and the target, I'll be using that same file. If you have different credentials for the source and different for the target, just use differently named XML files and you can retrieve those per server. So we've persisted our credentials. Now we're ready to actually start the migration upgrade process. And that happens by initiating the SQL Move script and setting up the double take replication to move the data from the source to the target. So again, I've got the command line written out here. I'm just going to go ahead and copy and paste those into my PowerShell windows. Let me do this. We'll clean that up a little bit so we can see what the actual command line is. Well, it's initiated. Right now we're loading up the DoubleTake PowerShell modules and initiating the script. And it's going through, it's doing its job of finding out about the user databases on the source server, finding out where the files that make up those databases are, and then building a DoubleTake replication job to replicate the data that makes up those user databases from the source to the target. And with that double take replication job going, it's going to real time continuously synchronize the source data to the target server, and it's going to do that through the byte level replication. So our filter driver layers in within the IO stack. We're not forcing any disruption of production SQL Server activities. We don't need a lock on the application or any of the files to be able to replicate those. So this will have no impact on your production users to set this job up and to begin replicating for the purpose of that migration or upgrade. So it's very nice to not have to impact those production users. So we've got our migration job started. DoubleTake is replicating from the source to the target. We'll want to check on the status of that job. Now, we will be able to, once the initial synchronization is complete, we'll be able to go ahead and initiate the cutover. The nice thing is, if the initial synchronization completes right now, but I don't want to do my cutover until next week, that's fine. DoubleTake is going to be running, again, continuously in the background, replicating those changes. So whenever it is that I choose to do that cutover, to do the upgrade to the target server, my data is where it needs to be when it needs to be there. So I don't have to do any more passes for replication. I don't have to do anything else to get the data over there. DoubleTake's doing all that work for me in the background. So I'll go ahead and check my job status. And we see the data is synchronized. There's probably about 750 meg worth of data in the three databases that we're using for this particular configuration. So that has finished. And what it's telling me is anytime I want now, I can perform that cutover. I could perform it right now, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, whatever suits my schedule. That's how it works. Next thing we're going to do is do a test cutover. Another nice aspect of this solution is that you'll be able to do a test cutover and see exactly how things are going to upgrade on that target server without ever impacting your production users. So to do that, again, I'll copy my command line from the document. Try to keep that new line character out of there so we can actually see the command line that I apply here. And we see all of the elements there. SQL move is our PowerShell script, our source 2005, target 2014, verbose mode to give us all the detail that's being output to the log files. We're using those credential files I mentioned. We persisted that earlier. Again, dtservcred.xml. We're using that for both the source and for the target. Same file. We're now telling it to do a cutover, but the significance of this is keep source online. So for that test cutover, again, we won't impact the production users, the production databases. We'll just be doing activities on the target server. And the delete job after cutover is for the double take replication job. When we're finished with this test cutover, we'll just set that migration job up again. We'll set up the double take replication again so that it can do a difference mirror and get all the data synchronized again so that we're prepared to do the actual cutover we'll do next. So everything looks good. We'll initiate that. It's going through again, loading up the DoubleTake PowerShell modules, any other PowerShell modules that it needs. And now it's going through the process where it's going to shut down the DoubleTake replication job so no changes are coming from the source to the target. And then it begins the process of stepping those databases through on the target. And we see that that's the natural Microsoft upgrade process. SQL Server 2014 on the target is stepping those 2005 databases up to the 2014 level. And when it's complete with that, those databases will be upgraded to 2014, and we can go in and check and see how the data is responding, see if there are any issues. One thing I will mention, there's a SQL Server SMO error listed at the bottom. That is not an actual problem for the migration job or the cutover, any of the activities we're doing. That has to do with SQL Server SMO not being able to access a registry key that it expects to find, or not be able to access a server remotely to retrieve a registry key that it expects to find. Those are normal errors to see, and they're not going to impact any of the functionality that we're seeing today. And we see here, too, we're running a secondary script to handle the SQL Server object and metadata migration. That's also using PowerShell and the SMO object model. It's going through and getting all of those various SQL Server objects and metadata. That process is complete. Again, from our sources perspective, the databases are still online and people are still using those production databases. But now we can go and check out and see what an actual cutover and upgrade would look like. We'll take a look at that on the target server. Well, actually, you know what? We can do that from here. We'll refresh everything again. We're still on the SQL Move controller. And I'll refresh that. And what we'll see now is the expected. The user databases are now over on the target. We've just upgraded those. The original source user databases are now on the target, as well as some other SQL Server objects and metadata. We'll focus a little bit more on the data right now. And what we can do, again, the source and the target are both up and running. They have separate identities, so there's no collisions there. But I'll go ahead and take a look at some of the data on the source. Go ahead and open one of my standard tables here. Again, these are the AdventureWorks sample databases, really good data sets for this kind of demo or testing. And I'm going to open up this employee table, human resources employee, and I'll take a look at the data in there, in that table. And again, we're on the source machine right now, source 2005. When I look at the data in that table, and we'll just pick one particular sequence here, and I see 16 on our manager ID, I see 16, 6, and 12. Obviously, if you're doing this actual test cutover in the real world, you'll want to do a little bit more exhaustive checking of your data. This is just a good sample, 16, 6, and 12. Good sample to show you. It's there if you want to do full testing, run SQL Server queries. So now we'll switch to the target server, and I'll open up that very same table, and we'll take a look at those values as well. And on the target, we see in the same table, the 16, 6, and 12, same as the source. Again, you can do more extensive testing. You can run full T-SQL reports, full queries, check everything that you want to check about the data and about the metadata. At this point, we're not replicating data from the source to the target. We've already done that activity, and we've done a test cutover. To get back to the point where we're replicating is what we'll do in just a second. We'll be able to run that SQL Move script again. But before we do that, I'm going to close these windows. Before we do that, though, on my target server, now that those databases, the user databases that I upgraded, now that they're online, SQL Server on the target does have those files locked. The only problem there is if we go now to set that replication job up again, the double take replication from the source to the target, if SQL Server on the target has those files locked, we'll not be able to apply changes. We'll not be able to apply updates. We won't be able to do our resynchronization that's going to happen when we do our difference mirror to get things back up to speed. So what I'm going to do is just take those databases offline. Now, you don't need to delete those databases from the target side. If you delete those, you'll remove the underlying data and you'll have to re-mirror that data again, which may or may not be a problem depending on the amount of bandwidth you have between the source and the target. But we're going to do this. We'll just actually take those offline. So I have a script already set up to do that on the target. I'll take those databases offline and the data underneath them will still be there so that we can only have to do a difference mirror. So let me open up that detach script. And the detach script, again, it'll kick all the users off those target databases in this case, and then it will actually run the detach commands. So I'll execute that. Now I'll go back through and do a refresh. And we see that the user databases that still exist on the source are no longer on the target. So let me kill that and minimize this. Oops, go back and refresh and we'll minimize that. And what I can do now is just look back to my document, my step-by-step document. So we've done our test cutover now. And then what I need to do now is go back a step. So I've done a test cutover, so I've taken down my double take replication job. So I need to go back to step 10 and set the migration up again. So let me copy these commands. And I'll paste those into my PowerShell window. And again, we're setting up that double take replication job again that we saw a few steps previously, so that we can go through and have everything lined up. We'll use the same commands to check the job status, and then after this is synchronized, then we can do the actual or real cutover. While we're waiting for that synchronization to occur, we'll go back and take a look at just one point of interest in terms of the metadata on that source. So we saw the databases that users are accessing and using, the production databases. Another piece of information, our SQL metadata. We get a lot of different metadata with this solution through that secondary script that we use for the SQL object and metadata migration. But if we look specifically, we'll take a look at some of the logins. That's a good reference point. And we can open up that SQL move DT user. Again, we're on the source, and we see its default database is AdventureWorks. We see it has some server role settings, bulk admin, public, and sysadmin, and it has some user mapping. So there's a lot of different data associated with that. There's a lot of data and metadata involved in the SQL objects and metadata that we get, but just something that we'll look at when we do our actual cutover to make sure that that information gets over to the target. So we can go now and run our job status command again to check and see whether or not the double take job has synchronized the data. And we're good. We're ready to go. Let me just go ahead and clear that out. We're ready to go. The source and target are synchronized, and that means we're ready to do our real cutover now. So again, this time we will not leave the source databases online. It'll be a slightly different process. And we'll talk about that as we go through it. Again, to look at our command line, the SQL move PowerShell script, our source is source 2005, our target 2014, verbose for extra output, our source DT creds file, that's where we're getting our user and password information from, that's encrypted. Our target DT creds file, that's encrypted. And we're specifying cutover. And we're specifying to delete the double take job after the cutover so that when we're finished, the source databases will have been taken offline, the users kicked off for this upgrade process, and the target will have the full SQL data and metadata, and then we can make the change to switch over to that target as part of our finalizing our cutover process, our upgrade process. So I'll kick that off. So as we've seen before, we're loading up various PowerShell modules. The first thing that we'll do is check the source, find those user databases, and using SQL Server SMO, we'll take those databases offline. We'll quiesce those databases. As those databases are shutting down, they're finishing up their writes to their files. And when they're finished, when SMO says that the database is offline, we do a second check. We check the double take queues, the replication queues that are monitoring. So how we're monitoring those files, and we make sure those queues are completely empty. So at this point, the source databases are offline, and the target is, as we saw before with the test cutover, the target SQL Server 2014 is upgrading those replicated databases and bringing them up to SQL 2014 level. So the same process we saw before, the difference is with our test cutover, we were not impacting the production users. Now that we're doing the actual cutover, we will again kick those users off the source and take those databases offline so we can do the cutover. So the process is complete of doing that cutover. We can go now and check to see on the for the target, we can look again and see, and we'll just refresh that. That's our source, and we see now the source is there, but it's not active. With our target, we do a refresh there. We'll see that we have our databases are all there, and the security that we were looking at earlier, and that specific piece of SQL metadata, though again, we get a lot of different objects and metadata. Let's look at those logins. So we have all of our user databases, but the logins, that particular piece of metadata is important too. So again, we're on that target server, and we see again, DT user 1, AdventureWorks 1 is its default database, our server roles, bulk admin, public, and sysadmin. And then our user mapping were mapped to that AdventureWorks 1 database. So everything's worked for the cutover. Everything's functioning the way we expect it to. What we need to do now that we've completed that cutover is go through and finalize the process. So we'll take one more look at our process document. And we see we need to change that on the client side connectivity. You know, that's really going to vary from environment to environment as far as how you would do the change to the infrastructure so that clients can connect to the new server. Your choice is also to rename that target server that you just used for the upgrade process and rename it to the source server. In general, I'm going to recommend changing the client side connectivity. It's easier to maintain those separate identities. You can make changes to your connection strings on your clients. Again, roll out a group policy to change all those connection strings. And that way you can, again, keep those separate identities. In terms of cleaning up post-migration, so if you do want to go ahead and remove all the DoubleTake software, that's going to be pretty easy to do. We can do that again from the console. Just as we were able to do push installs from the DoubleTake console, we're also able to do push uninstalls from the DoubleTake console. And we'll initiate that process. Again, this is assuming that you've checked everything out, everything looks good, you've done your due diligence, you've made sure the upgraded target has everything you expect it to have, and it looks the way you expect, and it's functioning the way you expect. So we'll go through this uninstall process. It might take a moment. We see the uninstall process is finished for both the source and the target servers. Take another look at our process document. You can do the manual uninstall from the local machine. I'm not going to do that in this particular case. It may be something that you want to do. I want to be able to use this console to install on other servers that I'm going to do this migration upgrade process. So I will leave the console installed on my SQL Move controller. The nice thing about this, we saw how it scaled. We could do this for multiple servers at once. If I have a large group of servers, I can add all of those into the console and manage them the way that we've seen here. Finally, uninstalling SQL Move from the controller. Again, I'm going to leave this controller up and running. It would be as simple as deleting the SQL Move directory. There's nothing else you need to do at this point. And then changing the PowerShell settings back to the original. Again, that's optional. It may be that on the SQL Move controller, you want to change the execution policy back to what it was before you ran SQL Move. It may be that you want to turn off the PowerShell remoting that you enabled on the source or target machine. Any of those settings can be undone. That's really it for the step-by-step process. We've completed that. We've done the SQL Server upgrade that we set out to do. Everything worked the way we expected it to. And our target, our SQL 2014 target, now has all of our data from our source server, as well as has all the metadata, some of the stuff we looked at. That's it for the demo. Thank you very much for your time.